reading from Philippians chapter 4. My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Here ends the reading. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The other day, I ran across an article in the New York Times that talked about how we are changing up the ways that we greet people via email, given the pandemic. The reason behind this was because one of the normal greetings, "I hope this email finds you well," just wasn't cutting it anymore. It seems disingenuous and flippant because, let's be honest, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, no one was doing well. And many of us are still not doing well in the sense that we can go about life without a mask or worrying about exposure or accidentally exposing somebody else or being able to see family or travel or go to school or hug our family and friends. Some of us have doubled down saying that we really mean it when we write, "Hope you are well and stay safe." Others have resorted to gallows humor. "I hope this email finds you well in what is surely a record-breaking year of international ministry." Misery. That's the second time I've done this. That's a Freudian slip if there was one, or just a really honest one. Okay, let's try this again. "I hope this email finds you well in what is surely a record-breaking year of international misery." There, I got it right. Or, "Forever screaming internally into the dark void that is now life." Or, this one I can certainly relate to on a deep level. "Sorry for the delay in my response. I've had my kids with me every moment since March." What I found interesting about the entire article and the phenomenon was the attempt of being more honest and rejecting what's become known as toxic positivity. Toxic positivity is the idea that we must always slap on a happy face and, as goes the classic Monty Python song, which I am not going to sing because I do not want to get us in trouble on Facebook, always look at the bright side of life. Even when we're facing truly terrible life circumstances. Now, toxic positivity has been around for a long time. It's been a part of the culture for a very long time. It often hides under the guise of self-help. Self-help books have been around for ages and are still incredibly popular. You know, every year it's a new one or a new thing or every month or whatever it is. I don't know how fast society moves now. I'm old. Also, through social media, influencers now have a huge reach. For instance, I'm pretty good at ignoring the self-help section. You know, I don't have to go anywhere near that stuff, near a bookstore or a library. But on social media, it's pretty much inescapable. For those of you who are on social media, you probably have one or two or a dozen friends jumping on the influencer bandwagon who post inspirational pictures and long-form posts. And both influencers and self-help books often peddle a positivity that is built on the idea, you can do it. If only you're more positive, or you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, or you either buy or purge yourself of all the right things, or you pursue, but like really pursue happiness. It's all within your reach. But what if it's not? The New Yorker brilliantly illustrated this in a series of cartoons titled, This is What Your Unsolicited Advice Sounds Like. I'd suggest going and looking up the cartoons because I'm not going to do them full justice. It includes telling someone who is lying in the road about to get hit by a truck, just focus on the things you can control. Or there's another person standing on a dock, and there's somebody else who's sinking into the water. You know, it's literally just their hand is out of the water. And the person on the dock is telling them, focus on the positive in the situation. However, my favorite one is someone telling a gravestone, so an actual dead person, have you thought about a vision board? A positive pep talk isn't going to erase a difficult diagnosis no one wants to get for themselves or for a loved one. Telling me to just do more of this, that, or the other thing to be healthy won't guarantee that I'll avoid the worst diseases and live a long and healthy life. When we face death, telling us life is short, so treasure every second with a loved one, this doesn't actually buy our loved ones any more time or bring them back to life. Telling a person to just focus on the good things and don't worry isn't going to get rid of depression or anxiety or any other mental health issue. So at first glance, it might seem like Paul is peddling toxic positivity, self-help, and these commands to the church in Philippi to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But there is something much deeper at work here. First, let's be crystal clear. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. Happiness is a topic that got really buzzy a few years ago as kind of a self-help thing. Like, if we're just happier and pursue happiness more, then life will be better, which seems, first of all, really obvious. And second, starts falling under the whole toxic positivity category. Joy, on the other hand, comes from a much deeper place. In fact, Paul tells us exactly where joy comes from. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Joy in this case does not come from within us. It's not something we create. It is not rooted in what we can or cannot do or how good we are at positive thinking or how hard we're pursuing happiness. Instead, joy, true joy, is rooted in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul has spent most of Philippians laying out what the Lord has done for us and the promises made to us. God's faithfulness to all people through Jesus. All that Jesus has done for us through the cross. New life and resurrection, even in death. Paul makes it clear that none of these promises stem from what we do, but instead it all stems from God's love and faithfulness and grace. All of this is where true joy comes from. It comes from the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul then goes on, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, everyone knows that telling people not to worry is a surefire way to make them worry. And we all know that our worries have only increased 100-fold since the pandemic began, and often for good reasons. We worry about our loved ones and the consequences of isolation. We worry about both being exposed to others and of actually exposing others to the disease ourselves. We worry about the economy and the impact on our community. We worry for those in the school system. We worry for those in the healthcare system. We worry about the injustices found in our communities and our country and in the world. I could go on and on and on. Now, the classic song lyric that I'm sure most of you can finish, "Don't worry, be happy." Now, if you were sharing your worries with me and I told you, "Don't worry, be happy," would it work? Probably not. And we wonder if Paul isn't asking us to do the same thing when he tells us, "Do not worry about anything." Sometimes this phrase has even been weaponized against fellow Christians. If you really believed in God, you wouldn't be this worried. However, this next transition is important. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's an interesting point that a friend of mine, and I want to give her credit, Pastor Sarah Condon, made about this passage in a devotional she did like at the beginning of the pandemic. And it's the "but in everything" part. We are told to bring everything to God in prayer. Connected with the first part, we realize that everything can cause us to worry. There is immense truth to this. But it is held with bringing everything that worries us, that is everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, if anything, or everything for that matter, causes you to worry, bring it to God. Don't hide your worries and anxieties, and after all, there's no hiding them from God because God is, you know, God. Lift everything up to God in prayer. In fact, ask God for help. That doesn't make you weak or less of a Christian or anything like that. It just makes us all the same. That is, people in need of God's saving, comfort, and care in the midst of, well, everything. Then we get to a Bible verse that I use all the time. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." When my sister died almost exactly 3 years ago, the cause of death was murky. We had to wait months to get back the results from the autopsy and from toxicology. And in the meantime, I realized that the answer to how she died, or as Paul puts it, understanding, was not going to give me peace. Nor, more importantly, was it going to bring her back to life. Instead, what I needed was not understanding or facts or an answer. What I needed was the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, to guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I need the peace of God's promises through Jesus, for forgiveness, for new life, for resurrection. And I still need these promises each and every day. And I still need this peace. When I'm faced with surging COVID-19 case numbers, I need it when I worry about you and your loved ones. Our prayer list isn't exactly short right now. I need it when I'm worried that I'm going to make the wrong decision. I need it when I'm worried that I'm not happy enough, whatever that looks like. I need it when death rears its ugly head again in my life and the life of the congregation. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding and guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that comes from the promises that we receive through Jesus. The promise of forgiveness. The promise of new life and resurrection, even in the face of death. The promise of God having done it all for us. The promise that we can bring everything, including our worries about everything, to God. The promise that Christ Jesus guards our hearts and our minds. And these promises and what God has done for us is a joy and peace so deep that it surpasses all understanding, all platitudes, all toxic positivity. None of this should be possible, but it is through Jesus. Now, I want to be clear. If you aren't experiencing this peace right now, that's okay. You're not a bad person or a bad Christian or broken or anything of the like. This is not toxic positivity, the Christian edition. It took me a lot of tears and prayers and conversations with God and with other people to get me to that point with my sister's death. And the amount of peace I'm feeling about whatever topic goes up and down and all around every minute of every day. But no matter what you're feeling, God promises to be there and to be faithful and to be faithful to God's promises. And you know what? God stands in front of that speeding truck for you, and God pulls you out of the water, and God calls you out of the grave. And so my prayer for you, for all the world, will continue to echo Paul's writing. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, now and forever. Amen.